J-A-R-O. Transmitiendo las 24 horas al día desde Aguascalientes, México para el mundo.
Transmitting 24 hours a day from Aguascalientes, Mexico to the world.
Dignificando a la música rock. Nelo Station. La lucha estelar por la música. Síguenos en nuestras redes sociales. En Facebook, Nelo Espacio Station. En Instagram, Nelo-Station-Oficial. Nelo Station.
Transformaron la música, la forma de hablar, de relacionarse, de bailar. Son únicos, son hermanos, son Barry, Robin y Mauricio. Son Historias de Sábado por la Noche, el podcast de los Bee Gees. Conduce Daniel Zárate Ramírez.
Jeff, good afternoon.
Hey, there you go.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me? Oh.
Yes, we can hear you fine. I can hear you fine. Let me introduce you to my friends, Jeff.
Okay.
Dear Jeff, here is Daniel Zárate from Mexico. Mexico.
Daniel.
Hi.
And up my friend Jesus Garcia from Spain. He's a musician. He has some interesting questions to ask you.
What's his name again?
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus, yes.
Jesus Garcia.
Hello. Hi, Jesus.
My and son. I am Ricardo Calderon from Peru. I'm just a fan, you know. Well, how are you today, my friend?
Yeah, pretty good. It's all going pretty good.
A little chilly in Australia, I understand. 14 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I live on the Gold Coast. It's not really as cold as Melbourne or Sydney.
And what's your city, the name of your city?
Gold Coast.
Gold Coast.
The Gold Coast, yeah.
Gold Coast.
It's about an hour and a half south of Brisbane. It's on the beach, you know.
Oh, you are so lucky. You are so lucky.
I'm pretty lucky. Things have gone pretty well.
That's great.
I like where I live. I go walking on the beach every day.
Have you always lived there?
The last 7 years or so, yeah. Before that, it was just all over the world and all over Australia, really. Lived in Melbourne for a while, lived in Sydney for a while, and then during the 90s, I lived in Los Angeles.
As a musician, were you doing music?
I was doing music. I was a musical director in Los Angeles for a video production company. Yeah, it was a good...
My friend Daniel has a couple of questions to ask you.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Dos preguntas.
The first.
I
will do the translation.
Oh, okay.
La primera, ¿tienes algún inconveniente de que platiquemos de algo? ¿Podemos platicar de todo?
Do you have any inconvenience if we talk about any topic?
No, talk about any topic. I'll just tell you, but I don't want to talk about it.
Podemos hablar de cualquier tema.
Muy bien. Y la segunda sería,
Second.
¿Y nos autoriza? Digo, ya comentaste, Ricardo, que... Pertenecemos a varios grupos de fanáticos. ¿Nos permite difundir este video en esos grupos de fanáticos sin fines de lucro?
We all, the three of us, belong to Bee Gees oriented fan clubs. And we ask you if you agree to our letting our fan friends see this interview. Under your permission, authorize it.
Yeah, I think that's okay. I think that's all right, yeah.
Yes, be sure. Rest assured.
I mean, just as long as it's not sort of uploaded onto YouTube or it's put into print for a magazine, I don't mind, but I don't want it to end up on YouTube.
No, we only want to spread this interview and the music we talk about, either the Bee Gees, well, it will be Bee Gees and your music as well. Mm-hmm. Your musical journey as an artist, mm-hmm. and we want to spread it with the fans only, with diehard fans. people who follow the Bee Gees and the musicians that have contributed to the Bee Gees.
En Latinoamérica y España.
In America, in Europe, well, Spain, Europe, and me in South America, and that's it. And that's we wanted to ask you first.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's cool, Ricardo. That's cool, Ricardo. Yeah, that's cool.
We want to do things right. And thank you. That's on to my friend Jesus.
Jesus, yeah. And who's the chap in Mexico?
Daniel.
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 Mexico. Bee Gees Mexico is.
You can see behind him there are a lot of Bee Gees material. Bee Gees records.
Yeah, yeah.
Bee Gees. Well, he has records too, like you, my dear Jeff.
Yeah.
You got the original present, like you said.
I do, yeah. I do, yeah.
Jesus, please, my friend.
Bueno, mi primera pregunta sería, cuando grabó 2 Years On en Trafalgar, si él fue quien aportó sus propias ideas a la hora de tocar, de drummer, o eran los hermanos Gibb quien decían cómo tenía que tocar la batería.
You were on both recordings, 2 Years On and Trafalgar.
Yes.
Allowed to contribute your ideas to the band. Or did the Bee Gees, did the brothers tell you what to do or what to do with the drums or and so on, you know?
On the 2 Years On album, that was pretty much just the brothers coming back together again and finding their way. And I was more like a session drummer on that album.
And what's it called?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I was familiar with the brothers because of the experience that I'd had of meeting them in Australia. But yeah. But the Trafalgar album was much more of an involvement with the whole four of us.
You mean that on the Trafalgar album, you sort of contributed your ideas?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Let me translate this for him.
Yeah.
Me dice que en el álbum 2 Years Song, se adaptó a los Bee Gees. Pero en el álbum Trafalgar, ahí sí se le permitió involucrarse musicalmente con los hermanos.
Ah.
O sea que sí,
okay.
Sus
okay.
Ideas
compartieron. Nelo Station.
Song about my wife, where I belong. If the clouds get together and talk about the weather, if it's rain they anticipate, baby, make no mistake, yes, the storm will break, but never me, you see. A lot of just a dream, and I am not, for I am he with something more. It's you and I, reality. If the clouds get together and talk about the weather, if it's rain they anticipate.
Nelo Station. Nelo Station.
Thank you.
En Nelo Station nos interesa tu opinión. Contáctanos en nuestras redes sociales.
Facebook, Nelo Espacio Station. Instagram, Nelo-Station-Oficial.
O escríbenos a nuestro correo electrónico nelostation@gmail.com. Nelo Station.
Contáctanos en el Twitter, Facebook y YouTube de Bee Gees México.
Nelo Station.
So that means that on Trafalgar, you contributed. You said I can do this or I can do that on the song.
Ah, yes. Everybody threw in their ideas for the songs on Trafalgar.
Todo el mundo lanzaba sus ideas en álbum Trafalgar.
Yeah.
Everybody, every musician, apart from you.
Barry and Morris and Robin.
And you.
Yeah.
And you, sir.
But some of the songs that were recorded for Trafalgar album were done very simply, you know, like Broken Heart was just done with me and Barry. He played acoustic guitar and Morris played piano and I played drums on that. And I remember him sitting in front of me with the acoustic guitar, and a lot of the songs were sort of done very, very simply with bare beds, you know, like Morris overdubbed bass on every track.
Oh. And ¿comprendiste esa parte, Jesús?
Sí. Yes.
And I have a question. Was there a demo for How Can You Mend a Broken Heart? Was there a demo song for that hit song?
I don't remember that. I remember Barry sort of saying he had a feeling about he wanted to write it like a country song. He wanted to make it a good country song, you know.
Out of that song.
Yeah, Broken Heart. And it was sort of interesting because when we went to America after it became number one, and we went to America, I think it was either Nashville. I think it was Nashville. We played in Nashville, but we sold out two nights in Nashville. I think it was like 30,000 a night because the country song was so popular. I remember we went to a party and Roy Orbison was there and a whole lot of different country artists were there, you know. I was really surprised that, you know, my experience of country music in America wasn't really that big, you know. I wasn't that experienced on it. And when it went to number one and we went to Nashville and met all these country people, I realized, you know, the love of country music and the love that Barry had for it, you know. And, you know, he loved it. He bought Johnny Cash's house, you know, many years later, you know.
La traducción, mi estimado Ricardo.
Bueno, cuenta de que el éxito de Broken Heart lo llevaron a Estados Unidos, tocaron en Nashville y hicieron dos conciertos agotadas todas los tickets. Fue muy grandioso ya que conocieron muchos artistas de música country en Nashville. So, do you remember do you recognize any artists, American artists that were around with you in Nashville after the two gigs you did?
I remember Roy Orbison.
Did you meet him?
We went to a party at his house.
On
somebody's house. The guy who did, I can't remember. There was just a lot of people. I was sort of blown away with how big they were, the Bee Gees, you know, how popular they were.
Estaba, como se dice, blown away, como extasiado,
sí,
volado por el éxito que los Bees tuvieron. You said blown away, right?
Yeah, blown away, yeah. Like, you know, the thing that I found with the Bee Gees is when I got to America with them, I realized that they were really, they'd been quite successful with Massachusetts, To Love Somebody, New York Mining Disaster. You know, it was like a standing ovation for about four or five or six songs that we played. I was just really surprised how popular.
Tenían ovaciones tremendas con Massachusetts to Love Somebody, New York Mind in Disaster. Uh-huh. Daniel.
¿Puedo preguntar? Mira, yo quisiera saber cómo se da el acercamiento con los Bee Gees. Nosotros tenemos la teoría que es Morris quien lo acerca al grupo.
Can you tell us what was your approach in the Bee Gees? And what circumstance did you get to become a member of the Bee Gees? Or was it Morris, the one who brought you in the band?
It's a bit of a long story, but like I mentioned when I spoke to you last time, Ricardo, that I met the Bee Gees in Australia before they even went to the UK. They were signed to the same record label with this other group I was in called Steve and the Board. And so by the time I ended up in London, the Bee Gees had already been quite successful, and they'd had a bunch of hit records internationally at that point. And but after the, you know, to try and keep the story short, after the 2 years on album, they got a number three record, I think, with Lonely Days in the States. And then we went to America and toured to promote that single and then the album. And when we got back from that tour, we'd started working on the Trafalgar album. And Barry came up to me in the studio one night and said, the brothers were talking and we wanted to ask you if you wanted to join the band.
Entonces los conoció antes de que emigrasen a Gran Bretaña, en Australia los conoció. Y luego los hermanos emigraron a Inglaterra y él también fue a Inglaterra años después. Pero él conoció a los Bee Gees en Australia. Y pues más tarde los Bee Gees o Barry le pidió que se uniera a la banda. Was it Barry the one who wanted you to join?
Well, I think he said that's the brothers had spoken about it together. So Barry, you know, Barry was the oldest brother. You know, he was
the man.
I wouldn't say he was the leader as such, but you know, he was the formidable member of the brothers. He was the oldest brother, you know, carried a bit more weight, I think.
Me está diciendo que él Barry habló por los tres hermanos y le pidió pues que en nombre de los tres se uniese a la banda, ¿no? Y Barry siempre ha sido el que tenía la palabra, ¿no?
Barry
Gibb.
Nello Station.
Sad and alone all the time. It's just the way that you said you don't love me anymore. Then goodbye. I can't believe what you're saying. You don't love me anymore.
Nello Station.
I rolled into the smell, and there I lost my hope. I need someone to know me and to show me. The square peg fits the hole. Why haven't I been told? I need someone to know me and to show me. Show me sitting cross-legged on my own, and yet I'm not alone. Don't need no one to show me, no one.
La lucha estelar por la música.
Nello Station.
Contáctanos en el Twitter, Facebook y YouTube de Bee Gees México.
Sí, bueno, me gustaría preguntar ¿qué opinas sobre el estigma que le pusieron a Bee Gees en la época de Saturday Night Fever?
What do you think about the stigma that was put on the Bee Gees during the fever years? I mean, in the last part of the 70s, say 78, 79, 80. Were you familiar with that?
Stigma? Like the disco thing, you mean? Or?
Yeah, one time Barry said, we are the enigma with the stigma.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that, you know, they're great songs. That's an incredible album, that album that had those songs on it. I remember when I was in Australia, and that must have been at the time when You Should Be Dancing came out. And I remember I was in a shop, you know, like in a shop in a store, and how music gets played on the radio, music gets played through the store. And I remember standing in the store and hearing you should be dancing. And I thought, that's the Bee Gees. And I thought, what a terrific song. And I thought, what a terrific direction for them to go into. You know, they were so funky. They were so cool. They were so great. I think,
Funky.
I think after my time with the band, I think everything changed for the Bee Gees by the time they got to America. And they had a lot more. They really started to delve into the R&B and soul influences. And it just, it was really great influence for them. You know, it was terrific. I personally, there was no stigma for me about what they did, you know, Staying Alive and all those songs are great. They're just great songs, you know. They're just great songwriters, and they had a unique sound, you know. They were very good at stepping up to the plate and producing showing their talent, really. And that's what that album showed, the real talent they had, you know.
Eran buenos los Beatles en salir del plato y mostrar.
Okay.
I have a question. How would you define what kind of music do you think the Bee Gees did with the Fever song? Was it disco, funky, R&B?
It was just cool groove music. You know, it sort of reminded me a little bit of Marvin Gaye, you know?
Yeah, se ha recordado Marvin Gaye.
And I think the producer, Arif Mardin, who did that album, I think that was Arif Mardin who did those albums. He was an R&B producer, and I just think he introduced them. He could see that they had a real songwriting talent, you know, and they could sing, and they had a very, very unique sound. And I think he just coupled that with the influence of the American R&B in the same way the Beatles took the American R&B and wrote some great songs influenced by that as well. And, I just, you know, the disco thing was... I never really sort of downplayed the Bee Gees because of that sound, like some people did. And it's obvious that it's as great today as it was then. You know, watching Barry on stage with Coldplay recently at in a festival in England was terrific. You know.
Yeah, that was in 2017 when he was invited.
At Glastonbury.
Yeah. Oh, 2016 when he was invited by Coldplay. And then I think in 2017 he appeared on his own.
You know, and seeing Keith Urban do To Love Somebody in one gig, you know what I mean? They're just, you know, they just, sometimes, I don't know, they just got, I mean, when people downplay the Bee Gees, I don't think the Bee Gees deserve that, actually.
Cuando la gente habla mal de los Bee Gees, no cree que se merecen eso.
No.
Not at all.
They're just very talented. I don't think you can put a stigma around talent, but people can put a stigma around anything they like, you know.
La gente puede poner stigmas en cualquier cosa que les guste.
Sí, cierto. True. Cierto.
Yeah, that's true.
Nelo Station. We'll be right back. Nello Station. Nello Station.
Yeah.
En Nelo Station nos interesa tu opinión. Contáctanos en nuestras redes sociales.
Facebook, Nelo Espacio Station. Instagram, Nelo-Station-Oficial.
O escríbenos a nuestro correo electrónico nelostation@gmail.com. Nelo Station.
Contáctanos en el Twitter, Facebook y YouTube de Bee Gees México.
Daniel. Sí, yo le voy a hacer dos preguntas, una muy sencilla y otra que también lo va a hacer seguramente. La primera sería...
One simple and one not so simple.
La primera pregunta sería, ¿qué canción escucha él de los Bee Gees y dice, esta canción es me siento identificado con los Bee Gees porque yo la hice con ellos? Esa sería una.
What song do you listen to that makes you feel identify with the Bee Gees and makes you say, oh, I did this song with the brothers.
I think Alive is one of my favorite songs.
¿Cree que es Alive, la cual es una de sus canciones favoritas?
Pero en la que él ha intervenido.
And obviously Broken Heart and Lonely Days. And there's a couple of songs on the Trafalgar album
¿Cuál es la canción más de la Trafalgar?
Don't want to live inside myself.
No quiero vivir dentro de mí.
I don't want to live inside.
Beautiful.
That's a great song, yeah. That's a great song. He made that up. I when we recorded that, that was pretty spontaneous in the studio, the way where that was written and created.
Cuando la grabaron. So you did that in the studio? That I don't want to live inside myself.
Pretty much. From my memory, that was all written on the spot. Don't live inside myself.
In the studio. Así inmediatamente, on the spot.
Oh. Nelo Station.
Just as fast as I fall. And I can walk and run, but I'll never crawl. And in the end, it doesn't matter at all. I don't know about the people that I read about in books. And the kings and queens around my room with their quiet, dirty looks. I know I should be going somewhere, I just can't arrive. What a reason for believing that I've never been alive. I know I should be going somewhere, I just can't arrive. Reason for believing that I've never been alive. Alive. Alive.
Nello Station.
I can think of younger days when living for my life was everything a man could want to do.
I could never see tomorrow, but I was never told about the sorrows.
How can you mend the broken hearts? How can you stop the rain from falling down?
Stop the sun from shining. What makes the world go round?
How can you mend this broken man? How can a loser ever win?
Please help.
I can still feel the breeze that rustles through the trees and misty memories of days gone by.
We could never see tomorrow. No one said a word about the sorrow.
How can you stop the rain from falling down?
How can you stop the sun from shining? What makes the world go round?
And how can you mend this broken man? How can a loser
and let me live again?
Nello Station.
But then-
Contáctanos en el Twitter, Facebook y YouTube de Bee Gees México.
Oye, y la otra pregunta sería, Ricardo, él estuvo en un momento clave de la historia de los Bee Gees.
You were part of the Bee Gees at a very key moment in the Bee Gees story.
Cuando se vuelven a unir los hermanos después de que se separaron en Odessa.
When the Bee
Gees, quiero que me platique su versión.
After Odessa,
su versión.
What is your version
of? Well, I think that you know, the time I was with the Bee Gees is sort of realistically a time that they would prefer to forget about. You know, they had broken up and they were coming back together as brothers. And you know, the 2 Years On album was a bit of a struggle at points for them, but you know, they came out of it with Lonely Days, which became a big hit for them around the world. And then the Trafalgar album, they were really just experimenting a lot with different styles, and they were trying to break out of where they were and go to someplace new. And then they had a huge hit with How Can You Mend a Broken Heart, which was a country song, you know. But I think that those 2 years, you know, when they got back together again, you know, it was a sort of a fairly strange time for them. After I left the band, I think they went through a pretty strange period until they ended up in America. And when they ended up in America as the three brothers, as the Bee Gees, things started to pan out for them then, you know.
En resumen, dice Jeff que en el álbum 2 Years On estaba como una lucha.
Uh-huh.
Y en el álbum Trafalgar, con el éxito de Broken Heart, ya encontraron el éxito, pero fueron años difíciles para los hermanos Gibb.
Pero quería que nos dijera.
Es un momento que dice que ellos preferirían olvidar ese periodo.
Ah. Mm.
Okay. Now, what about your music? Can we talk about your music, Jeff?
You can if you like. I'm just going to release. I've just released an instrumental album.
Acaba de lanzar un álbum de música instrumental.
Sí.
And I'm just about to release a 4-song EP of lyrical songs.
Acabo de lanzar un EP de 4 canciones instrumentales.
¿Te puedes decir que Never Give Up me encanta?
Jesus, as well as me, love Never Give Up.
Yeah, well, that's... Actually, it was sort of interesting what happened with you, Ricardo. Over the course of time that that'd been up on YouTube, a couple of people had mentioned there was a glitch in it, you know, and I never knew really where it came from. But after you mentioned it, you know, I decided to pull it down and...
Did you take it down already?
Yeah, I've taken it down, and I've got a new version, but it's going to be, the EP is going to be called Never Give Up, and I'm going to relaunch the song, and I'm going to do a new video clip for it and everything.
Okay. And when would you do that? Pretty soon, I guess.
In the next 2 weeks. It's already gone to CD Baby, and they'll take about 2 weeks to get it up onto iTunes. It's ready to go on Bandcamp, but I sort of tend to wait for iTunes to get it and then put it up on Bandcamp. And I'm going to be making a couple of video clips for some of the songs.
For not only that song, but for others too.
Yeah, there's another song called Lovin' Times, another song called Easy to Love, and another song called Loving is Where We Start.
I have heard them.
And then if you download the EP, there's a bonus track. If you download it from Bandcamp, there's a bonus track called Without Your Love.
What if you download it from iTunes? Can it be downloaded from iTunes as well?
You will be able to eventually download it from iTunes, but it won't have the bonus track on iTunes. Mm-hmm. It's basically an ode to love. The EP. It's an ode to love.
It's an ode to love.
Yeah, ODE.
Yeah. Let me translate this for Jesus.
Yeah.
Jeff sacó Never Give Up the YouTube. Y en la próxima semana va a poner la nueva versión. La versión de Never Give Up.
Oh, ok. Una pregunta antes de nada. ¿Se doblan las voces? Porque son preciosas.
Do you dub your voices? Your voice? Because they are beautiful.
And in esta
is it your voice? The one that is the other voice on Never Give Up, is that your voice?
Yeah.
Do you dub your voice?
Okay.
I'm singing on the track. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, no, we know that you sing. I can tell. We can tell about that. He's a musician, so he has heard another voice. I think it's a higher voice than yours. Is that?
Oh, yeah. I did all the voices on Never
Give Up. At least all the voices in esa canción.
There are overdubs on top of the lead vocal.
Están dobladas.
Están dobladas, claro. Eso es lo que yo quería saber. Gracias. Gracias.
Let me re-ask you this question, ask you again, in relation to Never Give Up. The song that I pointed out to you, that there was a dropout glitch.
Yes.
You told me I will be taking that down, which you
yes.
have. Which you have
yes.
done already. And yes. from a while ago, you just said that you will be uploading it again.
Yes.
Will that version be the same version, but with the correct sound or something like that? Or
yes, it's going to be exactly the same version, except it'll be clean, and I'll make sure that this one doesn't have a dropout in it. And okay. Yeah, it's exactly the same song, although the title has been changed from Never Give Up demo version, it's been changed to Never Give Up reprise.
Okay, será cambiado al título Never Give Up reprise. Y será limpio y sin ese bache, esa imperfección.
Ricardo, perdón, yo quiero aprovechar que trae guitarra.
Yo también.
Quisiera pedirle un favor. Yo sé que para eso cobran, son profesionales, o es un profesional, pero quisiera escuchar un breve fragmento de una canción de él con Bee Gees que más le guste y que puede interpretar, de la que él escoja, y otra, la de Never Give Up. O sea, un pedacito de una y un pedacito de la de
él. Jeff,
yes.
Daniel wants to make a request, if you will. Would you please do a tiny bit part of a Bee Gees song that you like, and also another bit of Never Give Up acoustical, now that we are seeing you, that we can see you with your guitar?
Well, I'll this is tuned to open D. This is the Barry Gibb tune.
Le puedes decir que yo toco en open G, en open D.
Jesus plays on open D, right?
Yes.
This is open D.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, from the time that I started making music with the Bee Gees, you know, one of the things that I sort of understood, or I felt, was part of their sound is that Barry Gibb has only ever used open D tuning to write all his songs. I attribute that to part of the Bee Gees sound.
Él atribuye el sonido de Bee Gees al que Barry siempre ha tenido la afinación open D.
Eso es lo que yo siempre he dicho.
That's something that Jesus has always said.
Yeah, yeah.
Also,
it's a different sort of like, there's a light, some kind of light, never shone on me. Want my life to be there with you, there with you, everybody says do it every little thing. What good would it bring if I ain't got you? Ain't got you. Hey, you don't know what it's like. You don't know what it's like. There's a real uniqueness to the way that the songs sound on the open D compared to playing them on normal tuning. And I've written quite a few. I was really influenced by Barry, really, I've written a few songs on the open D tuning. I have a guitar always in my room, open D tuned.
Siempre tienes una guitarra en su habitación con la afinación open D.
Ah, yo también. Yo tengo dos.
He has two guitars.
Yo tengo una.
Couple of guitars. He has one. It's signed by the three brothers.
Y autografiada por los Billes.
Ah.
He has autographed by the three brothers. Daniel. One question from me on Never Give Up, on Never Give Up reprise. I can hear a rhythm guitar and a lead guitar, acoustic guitar, must be, that I find quite similar to Spirits Having Flown song. You know, 1979, the Bee Gees put out this album, Spirits Coming From, and there's a title track. The title track of that album, there is also a song called Spirits Coming From. And the music, the guitar sound like, have a certain similarity to your song, Jeff.
There's maybe influences, you know, like to spend time working with those three brothers and their sound. There's no doubt that I would have been influenced in some way or another by their influence in my life, you know, musically. But I'm not familiar with the Spirits of Flown album, really. I'm not familiar with really many Bee Gees songs apart from the Saturday Night Live Fever album, you know. Yeah. A lot of the other stuff. I mean, you know, Dick Ashby sent me the Immortality double CD, you know. Because I played on a bunch of tracks on that, you know.
On which,
but and that was kind of interesting, you know, going back to have a listen to what I played on, and then listen to a lot of their other, a lot of their favorite tunes as well. But you know, they've written hundreds and released hundreds of songs. It's hard for me to have kept up with them, you know.
And what about Never Give Up? Can you do a tiny bit of that song for us, please?
Para la gente que nos está viendo en estos momentos, la verdad para nosotros es muy emocionante estar entrevistando a un integrante de los Bee Gees en una época muy importante para ellos, que fue a principios de los años 70, donde estaban redefiniendo su música y donde había una separación entre los hermanos. Él es Jeff y perteneció a la banda en esa época y ahora, pues a petición de Ricardo, nos va a interpretar un tema, ¿verdad, mi estimado Ricardo?
Never Give Up.
¿Qué es el que más te gusta?
Never Give Up by Jeff Bridgeford.
Well, we'll give it a go. I'm not sure the guitar is completely in tune, but... Don't you ever give up now. Never, ever give up. Don't give up on yourself now. Never, ever give up. Don't you ever give up now. Never, ever give up. Don't give up on yourself now. Ever, ever give up. Cause you might find you're not losing your mind. And those you love will always be on your side. If the walls come crashing down around you, and you think that you can't be found. Don't you ever give up. Never, ever give up.
Great, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think the guitar is tuned down. The weather's got it a bit low.
Yeah, wow, that's great. Thank you, really.
Oh, that's no problem. I'm looking forward to this pandemic to calm down a little bit because myself and my partner we were doing some gigs before this came to town, this coronavirus.
In Australia?
Yeah.
Están haciendo algunos recitales en Australia antes de que llegue la pandemia.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, my partner is a girl called Kim O'Leary.
That's fun.
And she's a great songwriter and she's been on she's on YouTube, yeah. She had a deal with Motown.
Oh, tiene una socia que está afiliada con Motown. Is that Motown from America?
Yeah, yeah. She was one of the very few white girls ever to get signed to the black label.
Estaba afiliada con Motown y que saben que es un sello color negro.
No, pero pues es de los mejores de la historia ese sello. Yeah. Yo le preguntaría a mi estimado Ricardo. Un tema muy local. ¿Ha venido a México y ha tocado en México? Y si me puede.
Mexico or ever played in Mexico, Jeff?
Sorry.
Have you ever played in Mexico?
No.
¿Has estado aquí alguna vez?
I'd like to go to Mexico.
¿Le gustaría ir a México?
Man.
Welcome. Bienvenido.
Y pregúntale si puede mandar un saludo a los seguidores de la página de Bee Gees México, por favor, y que nos escuche en el podcast. Dile que si nos puede escuchar en el podcast de Bee Gees México.
Can you send a greeting? Can you send a greeting now to all the followers of Bee Gees México who will be listening to a podcast to a podcast only for the fans of that webpage, only fans.
Well, I can say, you know, hi, this is Jeff Bridgeford, formerly of the Bee Gees, and like to say hi to all the Bee Gees fans in Mexico, and take care and stay safe.
En Nelo Station nos interesa tu opinión. Contáctanos en nuestras redes sociales.
Facebook, Nelo Espacio Station. Instagram, Nelo-Station-Oficial.
O escríbenos a nuestro correo electrónico nelostation@gmail.com.
Nelo Station.
Contáctanos en el Twitter, Facebook y YouTube de Bee Gees México.
Nelo Station.
Don't you ever give up now. Never, ever give up. Don't give up on yourself now. Never, ever give up. Don't you ever give up now. Never, ever give up. Don't give up on yourself now. Never, ever give up. 'Cause you might find you're not losing your mind. And those who love you will always be on your side. Yeah, if the walls come crashing down around you, and you think that you can't be found, don't you ever give up now, never, ever give up. Don't give up on yourself now, never, ever give up, no. You see, enough is enough of the pain, to be or not to be. Well, it's the same old story again. You gotta find yourself inside yourself and listen to your heart. Let go of yesterday and make a new start. You can do it if you try, you can do it, you know why. There's more to you than meets the eye. Never give up now, never ever give up. Don't give up on yourself now, never ever give up. Don't you ever give up now, never ever give up. Don't give up on yourself now, never ever give up. No, don't you ever give up now. Never, ever give up. Don't give up on yourself now. Never, ever give up. Don't you ever give up now. Never, ever give up. Don't give up on yourself now. Never, ever give up. No, don't you ever give up now. Never, ever give up. Don't give up on yourself now. Never, ever give up. Never, ever give up.
Nelo Station.
Jesús.
Me gustaría preguntarle una pregunta que tengo sobre ¿Qué instrumentos tocaba Robin?
Oh, yeah, this is a very important question that I share with Jesus. What instruments did Robin used to play? You were with the brothers.
Yeah, I never saw Robbie play too much at all. He noodled around on the piano. I think he could play a little bit of guitar, but I never really saw Robin contribute musically to the group while I was with them.
Nunca just vi tocar algún instrumento en la banda que contribuyera musicalmente a los Beatles. You think he could play the guitar or the piano? I think it would be
piano. Maybe, you know, but it's...
You never actually saw him?
I just never really saw him play an instrument. And so even though I lived with him for a while, but I never really saw him play an instrument. He could just... he would just sort of sing, and Barry and Morris would grab his melodies. He'd grab it and put it together for him.
If I can borrow some words from my friends, I think... Barry once said that Robin's instrument was his voice.
Yes. You know, Barry's got a pretty distinctive voice and an incredible singer, an amazing singer. But Robin Gibb is really, he's really the very definable sound of the Bee Gees, you know.
Yeah. Indeed.
When a song like I Started a Joke comes in, it's just hauntingly beautiful.
Did you play on that song?
No, no, that was before my time.
Yeah, but when you were in a concert, do you play that song live?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we played all the hits, Massachusetts, New York Mining Disaster, To Love Somebody, all their early hits, you know. But it was sort of interesting in those days, you know. We used a live orchestra on every concert we played.
I'm an orquesta en vivo.
Yeah, and we only played for no more than an hour.
Normalmente jugaba no más de una hora.
Oye, los Bee Gees eran muy celosos a la hora de interpretar los temas. De hecho, en toda la historia de la música de los Bee Gees, solo interpretan los temas los Bee Gees, salvo el Shot Chasaim de Idea, en donde es Vince Moloney quien interpreta la canción. A él nunca le nació el tema de decirles a los Bee Gees, oye, yo como integrante de la banda, ¿quiero interpretar un tema?
The Bee Gees mostly had... and produced and wrote and sang their own song, except for one song from the Idea album, which was done and written and sung by Vince Meloni, which is called Such a Shame. Question: did you ever feel like saying to the brothers, I'd like to sing a song within the band as the Bee Gees?
Yeah, no, that never really came up in my time, you know. We were just... they had a lot of material. They're very prolific, as the world has seen, you know. And they had a lot of music, and they just sort of asked me to join the band and participate in. And there was enough music as it was, you know, really at that point in time. I mean, I was going to say some of the other songs that we used to play in the set that we played were some of my favorites. I got to get a message to you.
I got it.
Tus favoritas.
Words.
Words.
Palabras.
And another one that I really loved was Holiday.
Holiday.
Beautiful.
Nelo Station.
The preacher talked with me and he smiled. Said, come and walk with me. Come and walk one more mile. Now for once in your life you're alone, but you ain't got a dime. There's no time for the fool. I just gotta get a message to you. Hold on, hold on. One more hour and my life will be through. Hold on, hold on. I told him I'm in no hurry, but if I broke her heart, then won't you tell her I'm sorry? And for once in my life I'm alone, and I gotta let her know just in time before I go. I just gotta get a message to you. Hold on, hold on. And it's only her love that keeps me wearing this dirt. Now I'm crying, but deep down inside, well, I did it to him. Now it's my turn to die.
Nello Station.
Smile, an everlasting smile. Her smile can bring you near to me. Don't ever let me find you gone, 'cause that would bring a tear to me. This world has lost its glory. Let's start a brand new story now, my love. Right now, there'll be no other time, and I can show you how, my love. Talk in everlasting words and dedicate them all to me. And I will give you all my life. I'm here if you should call to me. You think that I don't even mean a single word I say. Are all I have to take your heart away. It's only words, and words are all I have to take your heart away. It's only words, and words are all I have to take your heart away.
La lucha estelar por la música.
Nello Station.
Ooh, you're a holiday, such a holiday. You're a holiday, such a holiday. It's something I think's worthwhile if the puppet makes you smile. If not, then you're throwing stones, throwing stones, throwing stones. Ooh, it's a funny game. Don't believe that it's all the same. Can't think what I just said. Put the soft pillow on my head. Millions of eyes can't see. Yet why am I so blind? When there's someone else's mean, it's unkind, it's unkind. Beep, 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 beep. Yet millions of eyes can't see. Yet why am I so blind? When there's someone else's me, it's a kind, it's unkind. We are a holiday, every day such a holiday. Now it's my turn to say, and I say you're a holiday. It's something I think's worthwhile. If the puppet makes you smile. If not, then you're throwing stones, throwing stones, throwing stones. Beep, 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 beep.
Contáctanos en el Twitter, Facebook y YouTube de Bee Gees México.
Last question for me, and I think for the three of us, is related to your music. When you put out a new album, can we spread it through with all the Bee Gees fans that would love to hear?
Oh, sure, yeah. Do you know Marian Anderson?
What's that?
Are you familiar with Marian Anderson?
Not me.
She runs the GSI site, Gibb International.
No,
she's sort of like the president of the Bee Gees fan club.
Creo que es miembro de
Marian Anderson. She lives in Holland.
Marian Adriansen, something like that.
Yeah.
She runs a fan club in Holland.
Well, she's with me regularly, and she puts my stuff up on the GSI site all the time. However it goes out, it's good.
Can you give us permission to put up the YouTube songs in our respective?
Yes, of course. Yes, of course. Yes, of course.
Bee Gees Mexico, in my case, Bee Gees Marketplace. Well, it's not a marketplace, actually.
¿En dónde las podemos comprar también?
Where can we buy your music? Is it on iTunes? And you said Bandcamp as well, right?
Bandcamp is one of the best for me. iTunes. I'm on iTunes, Google Play. I don't have, you know, really I just have an album that came out in 2011 called Another World. I have an instrumental album which just came out recently. I have a single called It's My Heart Responding.
Lovely, I bought it.
And I had a group in Melbourne called Modern Life, and we were sort of an environmental band.
Tiene grupo en Melbourne llamado Modern Life. Is it Modern Life like modern? M O D E R N.
Yeah, Modern Life, and there was an EP called Echo Heads. All this is on my Bandcamp page if you want to take a look. That was a bit more of a rock and roll sort of outfit for a couple of years. For a couple of years, I had a band called Modern Life, and I fronted the band. I sang and wrote all the songs and played guitar, and I had a drummer and bass player.
When was that? Can you repeat that, please?
That was 88 and 89 in Australia.
En 1988-89 tuvo un grupo llamado Modern Life.
Sí, sí, sí. Y en 1978 también grabó un álbum.
Did you record an album in 1978?
I recorded an album in 1976 or 77, but it never came out.
Nunca salió el álbum.
Ah, es que yo tengo uno con su nombre.
Jesús has one album with your name on it. Do you have
really?
It there, Jesús?
Sí, espéralo.
Lo tengo. There, right now, he will produce it.
Es un disco que ni él tiene. Dile que es un disco que ni siquiera...
It's a disc that you don't even have as the author of it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Jesus.
My heart's turning my head around.
Yeah, really? Where did you get that from?
¿Dónde lo sacaste?
Disco Gogs. Es una tienda de discos por internet.
Oh, really?
He got it from an internet CD shop called
That's cool. That's not my greatest work, that record.
Come again, please. I didn't catch what you said.
It's not really a good album on one level.
No es un buen álbum en un buen sello.
Ah.
The record company went bust, and the album was never released. I'm really surprised that you've got a copy.
Dice que el álbum nunca fue lanzado y está realmente sorprendido.
Pues está aquí.
But he said, but it's here.
Yes, I can see.
So you see, bien por ti, Jesús.
I was just learning how to, you know, I've always just been a drummer. And what happened in Melbourne is that someone asked me to do a song for a documentary. And so I went into a studio and recorded a song. And the engineer thought that me and the musicians I recorded the song with, he thought I was really great. And so this record label called Indigo Records signed me up, and I made that album. But then they went bust, and the contract got torn up, and that was it. Nothing ever came out.
So nothing was released officially?
It was never released. No, never. That pressing that Jesús has is just a sample product. It's
lo que tienes es una muestra, un producto de muestra.
Sí. Luego hay otro de 1994 que se llama You Are My Inspiration.
There's another one from 1994 called You Are My Inspiration.
Yeah, I know that, yeah.
1994.
1994. Your music has been heard, whether you like it or not, all over the world. I mean, you know, Jesus lives in Spain.
Yeah, well, you guys are digging up things that, you know, hardly anybody would have ever
thought of,
ever known or ever listened to, you know.
But we're pleased to have those things and as fans.
Yes.
We don't make money with the music of great artists such as the Bee Gees.
Did Jesus buy that album in a store in Mexico, or did he get it online?
¿Lo compraste en España o lo conseguiste en línea, Jesús?
En online.
He bought it online.
From Australia?
De Australia. La tienda fue de Australia.
No, Europe. En Europa.
The online story is from Europe.
God, it's a funny old world, you know. Like, I've got two copies of that, and I thought I only had the only two copies that were ever
made.
they were sort of like test burns, you know, to give to record company people to see what people thought about the album.
Prueba para darle a gente de compañías disqueras para ver qué podía ocurrir, pero nunca fueron lanzados oficialmente.
Nelo Station.
I stop.
joke which started the whole world crying. But I didn't see that the joke was on me. Oh no, I started to cry, which started the whole world laughing. Oh, if I'd only seen that the joke was on me.
Station. Francisco.
En Nelo Station nos interesa tu opinión. Contáctanos en nuestras redes sociales.
Facebook, Nelo Espacio Station. Instagram, Nelo-Station-Oficial.
O escríbenos a nuestro correo electrónico nelostation@gmail.com. Nelo Station.
Contáctanos en el Twitter, Facebook y YouTube de Bee Gees México.
Oye, Ricardo, yo le preguntaría, aprovechando este momento, si a él le costó trabajo, hace ratito hablábamos de Barry y el estigma, ¿a él también le costó trabajo quitarse el estigma de los Bee Gees como músico o se fue libre?
Was it a lot of work for you to get rid of the Bee Gees stigma? Or...
No.
Did you ever feel that you had a stigma after not being a Bee Gee anymore?
No, not at all. It's sort of a long story, you know. But I got, I think I mentioned, Ricardo, that I was playing with a group called Tintin at the time when I got asked to join the Bee Gees.
It was at the time, during the time or right before you joined the Bee Gees? I think it was before you joined the Bee Gees, right?
Yeah, well, I was playing in Tintin when I started sessions for the Bee Gees. And the second tour of America that we did, Tintin were the support band. And because I'd been asked to join the Bee Gees, I should have been playing drums in Tintin, but I was playing drums in the Bee Gees, and Tintin went on to do the tour without a drummer. I just sort of got thrown into a situation that was very, very successful with three really incredibly talented brothers, you know. But I was always just a little bit of like a fish out of water. It was something that I didn't go after. I just got asked to join. And it just got to a point where I just felt a little estranged in the circumstances. Maybe if I had been a blood brother, I would have just been part of the whole thing. But I always felt a little outside of the group, you know. And so there came a point where I just decided that I just felt the Bee Gees were just the three brothers and I should just back away.
Okay, hubo un punto en que sintió que los Bee Gees tenían que ser los Bee Gees y él tenía que irse. So was it you the one who decided to leave the band?
Oh, yeah.
Fue quien decidió dejar la banda.
Claro. No, oh, yeah. They were disappointed, you know, because they had a Southeastern Asian tour coming up. And also they had a TV show planned in America for the four of us. And I was offered a lot of money to stay. But it sounds funny, but it wasn't about the money. I just felt like the brothers needed to just be the three brothers. And after I left the band, that's what they became. They became the three brothers, and that's what it should have been. No one else, even Vince and Colin first, the Bee Gees is the three brothers. And so I just decided that it's better just to stand back and get move on with my life. You know, I wasn't trying to, you know, I didn't want to go on a journey. I didn't want to go on a journey that didn't feel like it was meant to be for me. You know,
did you feel sad and lonely after doing so?
No, not at all. No, a whole nother world opened up for me, and I think, like I mentioned on our last conversation, that I was living in Miami during the 80s, and I would go to the studio, Third Eye Studios, or where they were, right. Third Ear, or Middle Ear Studios, that they had, and Barry, you know, by that point, that had Saturday Night Fever, and they were really quite successful. Very successful.
Ese fue en Criteria, no fue en Middle Ear.
I think it was like Jesus, Daniel says that it was at Criteria, not the Middle Ear.
Oh, yeah, but after Criteria, they had their own studio called Middle Ear.
Oh, yeah.
I went to Middle Ear.
Él fue a Middle Ear.
They were recording an album with Dionne Warwick called Heartbreaker.
They brought in Steve Gadd.
Yeah, they did, yeah. And that's why Barry, we spoke on the telephone. He said, look, we got Steve Gadd coming in. Come around and hang out, you know. So It was really great, you know. I love Steve Gadd, and when I got to the studio, you know, Steve put a chair out next to where his drum kit was in the studio, and he said, "Come and sit down next to me. And I've heard a lot of great things about you, and I just want to hang out with you." And I sat there while they recorded the Heartbreaker track.
Wow. So, but did you eventually play on that song, or No.
But at the time, Barry said, "Look, you know, look what you could have been a part of, you know." And I said, "It's cool, man. I'm happy. I'm happy, you know."
And
best of luck for your, you know, the Bee Gees are the Bee Gees, you know, there's no one else that can.
Three brothers. Well, I want to thank you, Jeff, for taking the time.
It was fun.
I'd like to say to you, on behalf of my friends and me, thank you ever so much for taking a little time of your schedule to chat to us and for allowing us to ask you more than a few questions and asking you for your permission to spread your music and show this interview to the fans of the Spanish-speaking world who love.
Great, that's cool, Ricardo. Yeah,
thank you. And I'm sorry.
And, as things come up, like with the EP that's coming out, I'll just send you links.
Yeah, please do, because we would like to spread the music, your music, and get people to start listening to music and eventually getting your music, you know, purchasing which is what you deserve as a musician. You're an artist, man, and we recognize.
Thanks, Ricardo.
You're welcome, my friend.
Well, look, thanks to Jesus and thanks to Daniel.
Thanks.
Es su turno de despedirse de Jeff.
Yo quiero agradecerle a Jeff y quiero decirle antes de que se vaya que me diga cuál es su canción favorita de todos los tiempos de los Bee Gees. Una sola.
Daniel, your one and only Bee Gees favorite song out of all the times and periods of the Bee Gees. One song that comes to your mind.
Out of all the Bee Gees songs?
Yes. Only one, please.
Well, I think To Love Somebody is a. I think that if I could ever write one song like To Love Somebody, that would be enough. You know, that's a beautiful song.
Si pudiera escribir una canción tan grande como esa sería To Love.
Yeah.
Jesús.
Thank you.
And hey guys, to everybody, take care and stay safe during this crazy time.
Thank you. Jesús.
Sí, pues para despedirme, pues nada, decirle que muchísimas gracias, que es para mí es un honor haber podido tener una charla con un gran músico como es él y todo el aporte que ha podido hacer con Bee Gees. Muchísimas gracias.
It's an honor for me to have met you and thank you for your contribution to the Brothers Gift when they were the Bee Gees and you were.
Ah, thanks. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And for me, thank you ever so much again, Jeff.
Yeah.
You are very kind. It's very kind of you to have done this for us. And I hope you have had a good time the way we have.
Well, yes, I have. And tell Jesus that I was very grateful to have an opportunity to play with the Brothers Gibb. They're incredible musicians. And it was very endearing being able to stand on stage, especially with Morris Gibb, and play the drums and have him play bass. It was he's an awesome bass player and an awesome musician generally. So it was just my good fortune to be able to spend a moment being in their presence and being able to work with them.
Great. We will be looking forward to your music. I will okay. Email you soon.
I'll send you links.
Thank you. I'll mail you soon. Anytime.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye, Jeff.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Nello Station.
There's a light, a certain kind of light that never shone on me. I want my life to be live with you, live with you. There's a way, everybody said, to do each and every little thing.
somebody, to love somebody the way I love you. In my parade, I see your face again. I know my friend, man. You ain't got to be so glad. And I'm glad, so, so, so glad I'm a man. Can't you see what I am? I ain't got you, ain't got you, baby.
You don't know what it's like, baby. You don't know what it's like to love somebody, to love somebody the way I love you. To love somebody the way I love you.
Transformaron la música, la forma de hablar, de relacionarse, de bailar. Son únicos, son hermanos. Son Barry, Robin y Maurice Gibb. Son Historias de Sábado por la Noche, el podcast de los Bee Gees. Conduce Daniel Zárate Ramírez.